privilege to read more from the Bible as we worshiped. And we'd like to read this morning from Luke 4, as we're doing this series on Luke. But our text won't be there so much from that passage. Also read from John 3. So first Luke 4, just two verses, verse 14 and 15, where we have these words. And Jesus returned after his temptations in the wilderness. He returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And then we go to John 3. And we read from verse 14 to 21. This is in the setting where Nicodemus visited Jesus. And Jesus speaks to him about the necessity of being born again. And Jesus goes on to explain the gospel and says in verse 14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God or worked by God." So far the reading of God's word, and our text is, as mentioned in the bulletin, John 3:16. John 3:16. Your congregation belonging to Christ, before the celebration of Lord's Supper this morning, we have before us one of the most well-known verses of Scripture. It's the gospel in miniature, said Luther. It's the gospel in a nutshell. It's, some have said, the theme verse of the whole Bible, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Let me give you some of the reasons why I'm preaching on this verse today, and then tell you something of the riches of this verse, and speak last a little about its reliability till the end of the world. For reasons preaching on this verse today, I'll give you five. The first is the Sunday school. They were asked to learn John 3:16 last week. I don't think that would have been very hard, as they're learning the whole section of John 3. That verse would have been easy. I think you would have known it a long time ago already. The next verse, verse 17, is so special. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Dear children, as you learn these scriptures, pray that they may be written in your heart, that you may love the word of God and that only Savior whom God has sent sinners to save. A second reason for this sermon text today, a primary one, is our passage in Luke 4, verse 14 and 15. Luke gives this little summary of Jesus as he leaves the wilderness after the temptations, after the angels ministered to him. And he says this, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all." It's a summary statement. And it's interesting to notice how Luke emphasizes Jesus was spirit empowered. Luke says it often. He's spirit-filled. He's spirit-led. He's spirit-empowered in his gospel ministry. And this ministry in Galilee was prophesied in Isaiah 9, that a great light would come and shine in that region, in the land of the shadow of death. And Jesus is that light. Come. And he begins to serve in Galilee. But notice now, with what Luke says in our text in Luke 4:14-15, he doesn't mention anything about Jesus' message in the many synagogues where he went. He doesn't tell what word Jesus brought, or with his miracles, what his point was. But we can know it, can't we? In summary, would it not have been John 3:16? For God so loved the world. This is what Jesus is bringing out. He gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For sure, this was Jesus' focus and his concentration, to make known to all the Savior of sinners he has come to serve as. So he preached in the synagogues, no doubt about this all. And Luke will emphasize it in the further passage next week. God willing, we will see. Excuse me. And the Lord Jesus would call that all people repent of sin and trust in Christ. Yes, also here now today, that gospel is being proclaimed. While he offers pardon and peace to all who will come to him. In light of that, there's a third reason for our text, John 3:16, in this service. And it's the fact that this past week, in our Bible study on Revelation 16, we came across this passage. You can read it yourself later, Revelation 16, which is all about God's doom and gloom upon this fallen world for their wickedness. It's about the seven bowls of wrath, of the fierceness of God's wrath being poured out upon this world. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, the Bible teaches us in Hebrews 10:31. What is the only remedy? What is the only escape for any one of us from God's wrath against us, for our sins and sinfulness? Oh, it's only the good news through Jesus Christ. And you and I looking to Christ and his shed blood in true faith and repentance before him. Revelation 16's prophecy of doom and gloom upon all the wicked is yet in this time of grace a pointer to John 3:16, the Savior of sinners who has come to be the deliverer from that doom and gloom that we all deserve, left to ourselves. And a fourth reason that compelled me to preach on John 3:16, this service, is the fact that I attended a ministerial this week in Calgary of like-minded pastors, where the subject was on church and mission. Church and mission. And what is our mission as Christian churches, if we will be faithful in our day and in every generation? Isn't it ever and again to hold high the one and only gospel of Jesus Christ, as summarized for us in John 3:16? It's the gospel we need in our congregations and from our congregation to the world. And if we would be faithful church of our Lord and true Christian witnesses, won't this be our constant message and our testimony repeatedly, individually and together? Exactly what our gospel text proclaims. Listen, one and all. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the fifth reason for preaching on this famous verse now, especially in this service, is because, well, isn't this precisely what our gospel text proclaims in a nutshell? Isn't this what the Lord's Supper visibly signifies and seals to us? Isn't it the preaching of God to us? Visibly. The sacrament is a visible preaching of Christ and Him crucified and risen again as the one and only most precious Savior of sinners. This sacrament confirms for God's people, by the Spirit's blessing, the full and free salvation that is ours. in and through the crucified and risen Redeemer, Christ Jesus. And it demonstrates with holy oath, with sign and seal, the Lord's infinite love and mercy for all who trust and follow Him as only Savior and Lord. So for all these reasons and more, I felt compelled to preach on John 3:16, thinking it most fitting to preach on it today. And then think with me next on something of John 3:16's very rich gospel tidings. What a text to preach on. Let me in a few of its riches, most wonderful and of infinite value. Yes, just from this single verse of Holy Scripture. One, notice with me how this verse speaks of God loving this world. God so loved the world, the text says. And there's lots of debate and even controversy about what is meant with the world. But let us understand it simply as referring to this fallen world, lost in sin. This whole sinful human race, both from Jew and Gentile, including God's covenant people and all the heathens and pagans of this world. God has a care and a compassion for this lost, fallen, evil world. While in His holy justice and righteousness, indeed, the Lord cannot look upon sinners and have them ever come into His presence, yet the astounding gospel tidings are that God loves this world. This means the one only true God, the Creator and Maker of this whole universe, He has a special affection and sincere care still for this fallen, rebellious world. You know, when our first parents, Adam and Eve, sinned against God in the Garden of Eden, instead of wiping them out and all humanity forever, God at that very day and very point promised He would send a Savior from sin in due course. A Savior able and willing to save sinners and to bring salvation blessings far as the curse is found in this fallen world. Oh, if this fallen world, lost mankind, would only hear and pay attention to the one only true God who so loves this world and is out not to consume it under His righteous wrath, but to spare it and to save it under His amazing grace and love. Listen, no one cares more for and about this lost world in so much misery and sin and evil than the one only true God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Be assured of that now, also from John 3:16, and even from the sacrament of Lord's Supper before us today. Yes, for our text and the Lord's Supper sacrament before us bring out so clearly, dear congregation, not only that God loves this fallen world in the sense of being so caring and compassionate towards it, but notice next the extent and the manner of His love as shown towards this fallen world. The gospel riches here in the text are incredible, and don't let the familiarity of it make us lose sight of it. For consider the gospel fact. As the text tells us, God gave His only begotten Son sinners to save in this lost world. The text in the original states, God so loved the world, the Son, the only begotten, He gave. That's how it's stated. The object is put before the verb to emphasize what He gave. As one commentator put it, all the emphasis of the verse is on the astounding greatness of the gift. God gave His only Son to save rebels like us. The little extra word saying God so loves the world means in this manner and to this extent, or in this way, God loved the world. You know, when you love someone, you say, well, show me what you mean you love me. Well, God shows us. He so loved the world. He gave His only begotten Son. Yes, even in this immeasurable degree, He gave His best. He gave His all. He gave His Son. The word gave to in the text is comparable to the words in Romans 8:32. He spared not. He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. God thus gave His Son, dear congregation, to suffer and to die and to save sinful, guilty, vile sinners like you and like me. No one of us, thinking about this, can ever describe the infinite depths and heights and breadth and width of what is meant with that little word. God so loved the world. In this manner, to this degree, He gave His only Son to bring about so grand salvation for sinners like us. And here is another riches of this text, isn't it? That full and free deliverance that is accomplished for us, for all who believe, from the just eternal judgment and everlasting punishment we deserve left to ourselves. That condemnation, that eternal punishment for all our sins and sinfulness before God and our neighbor is what Jesus took on Himself. And He suffered and endured it in the sinner's place. And so forever removed for God's elect people, whoever believes by grace through faith in Him, that judgment. And instead, we may have life. Yes, for people all over the world, God gave His Son for this purpose. Sinners like us, to rescue, to redeem, to save. And even though Jesus knew it would mean for Himself such inexpressible, unceasing suffering and anguish in body and soul, His whole lifetime here on earth, and especially on the cross, as sin bearer, still, God gave His Son, and Jesus gave Himself. God so loved this fallen world in sin. Even when the sinful, wicked world wasn't looking for God to send a Savior, and even though when Jesus came sinners to save, He was rejected and despised and ridiculed. And the people said, away with Him. Crucify Him. You may have heard the true story about a train bridge worker, John Griffith, who in 1937 was faced with an awful choice. His dear and only 8-year-old boy was with him at work that day, and he had just accidentally fallen into the section of gears that allowed the bridge to go up and down, letting the ships pass through. But just when he fell, a train was coming. The Memphis Express, with over 400 passengers and no time to spare. Father Griffith decided he had to lower the bridge to let the train pass through safely, even though it meant the certain death of his dear boy. It's a moving story indeed, but dear congregation, it in no way compares to God giving His own Son, sinners, to save. And Jesus, we know, didn't accidentally suffer and die. No, but He willingly, from the start, from eternity, gave Himself for this cause. Gave Himself to do the Father's will. And the Father gave Him up for this. And Jesus, He would do everything that had to be done, refusing even not to die, if need be. And He knew it needed to be. The cruel death on the cross, sinners like us to save. I read this the other day, again a description of crucifixion. I hope to maybe bring it forward in another service. Unbelievable suffering. That's just physical. But God commends His love towards us, says Paul, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yes, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The text in its riches emphasizes also, doesn't it, the call to believe in Jesus. And this means not simply recognizing that He lived long ago, and even perhaps that He died, maybe even on a cross, but it means believing on Him means, doesn't it, repenting of sin, turning from your sins, confessing your sins, and trusting Jesus Christ as only Savior and Lord. As one stated, believing in Jesus, quote, carries the sense of placing one's trust into or completely on someone. And that's what we're called to do. Whoever believes on Him. It doesn't say whoever does good things for Him, whoever does this or that, whoever believes on Him. By grace, through faith, we are saved. And that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. And notice, yes, notice how open the invitation of the gospel is with the word, whosoever. Whosoever. That word, whoever, whosoever, could not be more inclusive of all. It is purposely as indefinite as possible, and thereby sincerely, divinely opening the gospel invitation to all mankind. Whoever has ears to hear, regardless what you have done, how great a sinner you are or may be, whoever believes in Him shall be saved. Again, as one put it, salvation is not restricted to any race or color or class, but it is the heritage of all who will truly believe. Do you believe in Jesus? In the sense of trust Him? Confessing your sins to Him and looking to Him as your only Savior and Lord. The gospel riches of this one verse is that it makes also very clear cut for us the message of the gospel, doesn't it? There are only two ways. It's a two-edged sword. There are only two ways for you and me and all mankind. There is the way of unbelief and perishing in your sins forever. And there's the way of faith in Jesus and receiving everlasting life in and through the crucified and risen Redeemer. Which way are you following? Which is what your heart is pursuing in your life? The riches of this text also comes out, doesn't it? In that it declares everlasting life may be ours and is ours when we believe in Christ. And that everlasting life is so great, it's so glorious, it's something given to us limitlessly and irreversibly, as God's free gift of God to us already in this life and climaxing to everlasting glory in the new heavens and new earth one day. How great this is, again, when the only alternative is that place called hell, which is more horrible and terrible to think about, which Christ came to deliver sinners from. You know, when we are true believers, we become forever free from condemnation, and we become eternally approved of God as His dear children, and we are made heirs of everlasting life and eternal love and peace in and through Christ. And our home will be heaven in the new heavens and earth, all always for Jesus' sake alone. Well, do you not agree with me hearing this all? What a great, gracious, glorious Savior. And what inexpressible riches of God's love, John 3:16 proclaims and promises, even for all the world to hear. And coming to our third point now, think of the endless reliability of this text, dear congregation. Here is life-saving, life-transforming gospel of Jesus Christ for all who have ears to hear. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes this gospel. This word in the context of John 3 in Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus is the seed of regeneration of God's elect, and it gives unending comfort for the soul of all God's believing people. It's right to say, isn't it? Never will you find so great and loving God as the one only true God of the Bible. Never can anything compare to God's merciful, just, forgiving love for guilty, undeserving sinners like us in and through Jesus Christ, the Savior. No gift ever either can compare to the gift of God's Son, sinners to save, and the gift of Jesus giving His life a ransom for many, even to the death of the cross. No good news has any value like the good news of the gospel. And no promise ever can be found so powerful, so far-reaching, so sincere, so costly, and of such everlasting value and endless certainty as John 3:16. The death and resurrection of Jesus the Savior confirms and seals the divine reliability of John 3:16, along with the fact that it is written by God in His Word. And His Word is infallible. And the God who wrote it cannot lie. He only speaks the truth. When you and I truly believe in Jesus Christ, dear congregation, we say with the believer who prayed, as given in one of the prayers of the Valley of Vision, O Lord God, You have commanded me to believe in Jesus, and I would flee to no other refuge, wash in no other fountain, build on no other foundation, receive from no other fullness, and rest in no other relief. Is that you and me today? Do you today, as confessing Christian, identify with this prayer in response to John 3:16? Is this verse also your endless source of salvation and comfort? And your constant invitation to find initially and constantly your all in all in Jesus, the Savior of sinners. A thriving church never can get over the most familiar verse of the Bible, John 3:16. A thriving church, a thriving Christian, just loves John 3:16 and can never be bored with it. Is the unchanging gospel of this text what truly gives you daily hope also and help in the good fight of faith? And does this verse, John 3:16, also give you purpose and zeal to seek to be a light to others, helping spread this only gospel word of hope in a hopeless, miserable world in which we are still living, which is fast on the way to perishing forever when Christ returns? Are you gripped with the fact that we are hastening to the last and final day when this divine offer of the gospel, John 3:16, will no more be given to anyone anymore, forevermore? But it's still the day of grace. John 3:16. We mentioned some reasons for preaching on it today. The riches of this verse, something of it, and the reliability of this gospel verse for all God's people, even till the day Christ returns. And that this verse now may fill our minds and hearts, and that the love of God in Christ might guide and guard us further in ever seeking and serving the Lord in spirit and truth. All confessing Christians and members of Christ's church in good standing are invited to participate now in the Holy Supper. The Lord calls His people to attend there in remembrance of the Savior, and ever to rejoice in this gospel of John 3:16, and to reflect it to others while we yet can. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Amen.